It's fun.
It seems like everywhere you look, I keep seeing the number two. It seems like it's a bit of a theme these days. I mean, there's two of us, two microphones. It's 2022. We're recording our second episode of the new year.
Yeah.
But there's another number I want to talk about today. Not the number two, a little bit higher, 100.
Why 100?
Because you are participating in, and those who are listening are listening to, the 100th episode of the Scruffy Stuff Podcast.
What? Are you serious?
I know.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, part of me is like, wow, 100? Really? But also part of me is like, no, it makes sense. I mean, we started this thing at the beginning of the pandemic. People were inside. They needed to connect with the outside world. We were providing news. I like to think we were providing some entertainment as well. Stuff started opening back up. New things started opening. I mean, there's been so many businesses and projects in the works that are planned and just so much news. And we've been enjoying every step of the way, bringing that news to you. And it's going to be an exciting year moving forward. And so that's the good news. That's the big news. Episode 100. But we have some other news that we want to share with you today.
Yeah, I guess this is a great opportunity for me to share that I'll be transitioning into more of a producer role here on the Scruffy Stuff. And I'll be focusing my energy on doing more narrative work. For those who listened last week to the hip hop episode, you probably noticed a difference in the tone, approach in it. It's more storytelling rather than discussion. And that's what I'm going to be doing from here on out. Don't worry, you're still going to hear me on occasion, but it's going to be less regularly, I guess.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, I mean, Calvin already does a lot of the behind the scenes work anyways. I mean, he's the one that produces the podcast already. I'm excited about this because, you know, we're going to be able to do a lot more creative storytelling with you dedicated to that and some familiar voices that you've heard on the show before, like growth and development editor Brenna McDermott and Kelly Krebs from the Urban Knoxville team are going to be joining us for some of those discussions, you know, some of our hot takes and big picture looks at things that are happening in the downtown scene.
And don't forget all our guests that we're scheduling for this year.
Oh yeah, we're going to have some more special guests on the show as well. So a lot to look forward to in 2022. I'm happy, Calvin, that you're going to be continuing the awesome production work that you do and get the chance to tell some of these narrative stories with you, because I had a lot of fun with last week's episode, and I'm about to have a lot of fun with this week's episode too. I was just going to say, you know, I have a lot of New Year's resolutions on the table, stuff that I'm hoping to stick to. Got back in the gym yesterday, and my New Year's resolutions are a little bit different than probably a lot of the New Year's resolutions of those who are players and developers and business owners in downtown. Their goal for 2022 is to get their projects online, to get their businesses open, and there are a lot of those projects in the works that we can expect to see in 2022. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Some of the most exciting projects that are coming to downtown Knoxville, stuff that you need to be on the lookout for in 2022. But before we get started, I need to remind everyone that the Scruffy Stuff is brought to you by KnoxNews.com, where you can find everything we discuss here on the show and more. Knox News relies on support from readers and listeners like yourself to provide you compelling stories from Knoxville and across East Tennessee. Subscribers get an all-access pass to all of our premium exclusive content, and to become a subscriber, it's easy. Just visit knoxnews.com/subscribe, see our latest offer, and sign up today. I'm Ryan Willis, urban life writer at KnoxNews.com and co-host of the Scruffy Stuff Podcast, a podcast about all the news happening in and around downtown Knoxville. Joining me as always, my fellow co-host,
Calvin Mattis, photojournalist here at KnoxNews.com. And I want to promo our hotline, our phone hotline. It's 865-226-9192. Send us your comments, questions, concerns, anything about downtown Knoxville and the surrounding area, anything and everything under the sun sphere.
Bring it back the old tagline.
Yeah, we want to know what's on our listeners' minds and hopefully, you know, address some of those concerns and questions you have about the city in a future episode.
Yeah, that's a big resolution for me. More listener involvement. I'm excited about that. Let's just go ahead and jump right in to some of the topics. And in my head, I've kind of mapped this out a little bit. I want to do, we'll break it down in some categories, starting out with, I say, entertainment. We're entertainers. We're news providers, but we like to have a good time here on the Scruffy Stuff.
Yeah, please entertain me. I have a short attention span.
But there are some exciting entertainment opportunities, and I'm going to start out with a venue that's supposed to come online in 2022. We don't know exactly when, but The Outpost by the Born and Raised guys, who were on the show just a couple weeks ago talking about who some of the musicians are in Knoxville that could really put the Knoxville scene on the map. They have been around for a while. Maybe you remember, I don't know if you ever actually made it out there, Calvin, to the old Outpost.
Yeah, we went to the Silent Disco. And we go to a show there once, too?
Yeah, that's right. We did do the Silent Disco. And that venue was so much fun. It's over there, was over there, where the, I always want to call it Barrel House, but that's Gypsy Circus. And then I always want to call it the Barrel Room. It's not that either. What is it called?
The Oak Room.
The Oak Room.
Jeez. You're so close.
I know. The Oak Room by Abridged. They had a venue out there for a while. Very small, very intimate. A lot smaller than what they're planning over here on State Street, which, by the way, it's 808 State Street for those who are music people. I think that's a clever address to have, 808's. Drums, anyways, doesn't matter. But it's a venue type that has been missing for a while, and they talked about it too. A mid-cap venue. You had the Tennessee Theater, fit, you know, over 1,000 people in there. You got Thompson Bowling Arena, obviously huge.
Yeah, and then you got the Pilot Light.
Yeah, Pilot Light.
And I guess there's the Mill and Mine, which holds a couple hundred more people, but like.
Oh, it's Mill and Mine. Is Mill and Mine the biggest? Is it? It's bigger than.
It's got to be like the only middle ground one around here.
It's still a big jump though, because what they're thinking about at the Outpost, I think, is about a 500 capacity venue, and then you look at the Mill and Mine, and they're sitting at 1,200 people. I mean, that's
wow. Okay, I was off.
500 is going to be like the Basement East. You know, we saw Twin Peaks there, Nashville. Yeah. It's going to be like Exit Inn. I'm trying to think, maybe the Gray Eagle in Asheville. I'm not exactly sure on their capacities, but it's going to be, you know, a place where hopefully some artists that wouldn't have an opportunity to play in Knoxville otherwise, just because their popularity doesn't quite match the capacity limits of a venue, will have an opportunity to play here. And it's so cool, the fact that this is going to be in the core of downtown, a cool place for a music venue. And I know all my fellow music fans in Knoxville are going to be excited about it. As well as the River Breeze Event Center, another music venue that I wanted to talk about.
Ah, that's outside of Knoxville, though. Or downtown, Knoxville, I should say.
But the only reason I bring it up, and, you know, we focus on downtown, but it's going to have shuttle service to and from downtown. And that's a big selling point, I guess, for this venue, is that, you know, they take the getting to the venue out of your hands. And it's not far from downtown. It's actually surprisingly close, like a 10-minute drive.
10-minute drive on the I-40.
And so they're talking about doing shuttle service where you park at one of the garages downtown. Maybe you park at a business that they partner with, and they'll pick you up and bring you back downtown. Enjoy a few drinks and dinner beforehand. Grab a couple drinks afterwards if it's a weekend show and businesses are still open. And the concept of an outdoor venue on the river. We've talked about the Tennessee River being underutilized, and this is the Holston River. But still, a riverfront opportunity in Knoxville to see live music, food trucks, beer gardens. But man, the capacity there is more than 500. There's a potential for bands like Keller Williams and you know, people of that caliber, even bigger. There's a lot of open land out there to have shows. And I think the concept of having a shuttle service to and from downtown, I think that's something to get excited about. I know when I go to shows, that's one thing I'm worried about. Am I going to be able to get an Uber? How am I going to travel to and from? I've been to a show out in Maryville before where there were no Ubers. I don't know if there are Ubers out there on the Holston River.
Almost got stranded out there.
I know. And so I don't like taking that chance. And this sounds like they're going to have it built in to where they'll have the rides handled for you. And it's cool. It's at a former drive-in site, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, no, that does sound very unique. One event that I'm always looking forward to here in Knoxville is Big Ears. And it's finally returning for 2022 after a two-year hiatus, thanks to our dear friend, the coronavirus. I'm looking forward to it.
I think there's been this misconception for a while that Big Ears really isn't that approachable. And Ashley will tell you, you know, the whole point of Big Ears is doing a little bit deeper dive into what's going on in the music world.
Yeah, it's something for everybody. And for not, I mean, I'm a music lover, but I'm not totally into the scene like you are.
Right.
And I was exposed to so many cool new artists. And I think it's relatively affordable, too, to go to. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and more, I was going to say, more approachable than maybe you think. I think for a long time, they thought it was just this weird avant-garde music. But, I mean, you have stuff from all types of genres. Singer-songwriters, country, like I mentioned with Terry Allen. You're going to have some classic rockers. I mean, you're going to have Kim Gordon and Patti Smith there. And so, really, whatever tickles you as a music lover, you'll have something there. And be sure to keep an eye on some of the free events that are associated with the festival that will likely be happening around downtown. They've always managed to have some free programming for the locals. if you're a local still, I mean, don't just take advantage of the free events. If you have an opportunity, buy a ticket, because there's some performances that we mentioned here that you're not going to want to miss. So something big to be excited for in 2022. And we can't mention 2022 without mentioning 1982.
Yeah, 40th anniversary of the Knoxville World's Fair.
Yeah, not the big, not 50 years.
Call
me
50 years?
No, I'm going to say call me in 50 years when it's the 50 year anniversary. That's the big one. But they're going all out for 40. They had the
Budweiser Clydesdales here earlier in December.
Yeah, and were they back for the New Year's Eve event? They had the New Year's. I want to say they were. They might not have been. But they had the New Year's Eve event out there, which at World's Fair Park, when I say out there, out at World's Fair Park, which was not just a New Year's Eve event. It was also welcoming in the 40th year anniversary. Calvin, you were like, I know you got on me because I was like, it's 40th year of about to say big years of the World's Fair. But I guess technically it's not till May. But still, January, we're getting ready for it. We're gearing up, and there's going to be...
Knoxville's embarrassing us.
There's going to be some sort of festival planned with some international food, some live music and stuff in 2022. More details to come on that. But really, in 2022, just all the excitement around remembering the 1982 World's Fair. If you were here for it, it's going to be a nice reflective time for everybody throughout the year. If you were not here for it, it's obvious the impact that the World's Fair has had on Knoxville. Just look up at the Sun Sphere and you'll see its impact that it's had here. Go to Market Square, go to Petros. It's all around us. It's built into our culture and it's something to get excited about. An anniversary, 40 years, big milestone, and a lot of exciting stuff planned for the rest of this year related to that.
And if you've been to downtown Knoxville recently, you've probably noticed all the cranes in and around the downtown area. New buildings going up everywhere, it seems like. And, not Knoxville, probably by 2023, this time we'll look a little bit different with the addition of a couple of new residential developments at the former Supreme Court site.
It's going to include a hotel at the Supreme Court site as well as some apartments. And the hotel is going to be called The Tribute. It's going to be housed in the Supreme Court building. And the plan is for a rooftop bar called The High Court. And
I love that.
Yeah. And so, us and our rooftops here in Knoxville, Nashville gets all the credit, but we have some really cool rooftops around town. And another one coming up, sign me up. I'll be there. 63 short-term units will be in the hotel, roughly 14 floor plans. It's going to allow people to have flexible stays that could include housekeeping and concierge service or just a simple overnight studio room. The apartment building is going to be called Church and Henley. We'll have units spread across five floors atop a multi-level parking garage. There's going to be a bike shop, outdoor kitchens, rooftop deck, makerspace, e-business lounge, all the amenities that you could possibly want. If you're not planning on moving there, why get excited about it? Calvin, you have your thoughts about Henley.
No, boy, do I. Not a fan. Do you want me to go off?
No, we've heard you before, Calvin. Save your breath. It's okay. Just anything going in on that end of downtown. We've talked about the disconnection, the lack of connectivity, I should say, between the University of Tennessee and World's Fair Park and eventually downtown. You kind of come into downtown from Cumberland Avenue and you're met with nothing. You're met with like you've called it, a big highway running through downtown that is known more commonly as Henley Street.
Yes, sir.
And so now to have something that will welcome people coming in from that part of town and maybe start to develop some of the stuff, some of the buildings and empty spaces over there on that side of town. I think the apartment building and the hotel will have the ability to, spur other development around it. So that's a reason to get excited, just because this is a new part of town where people might be spending their time if you want to go to the rooftop. Another one that you might be more familiar with, but Stockyard Lawson has been going up for a while. You have probably noticed it over there in the old city behind Southern Grit and kind of behind Southern Grit and Barley's in that lot back there. Lee Birch is the one that's doing that. And I just heard from Lee. They're hoping to maybe open at the end of this month, maybe middle of February, and get people actually start moving in there. And so anytime you have people moving into a part of town, obviously Old City is a different animal completely, considering the baseball stadium that's going to come in there and all the development that can come off that. But just having more residents down there, it increases vibrancy in an area. Again, just like we talked about with the Supreme Court site, it has the ability to encourage more development. I mean, you have that many residents coming into an area, it's a little bit more enticing to open up a business because you have people within a certain distance. And so with that site and people actually coming in and moving into that, opportunities for Old City, even before the baseball stadium gets finished. I think we could see some in-between development that happens between now and that stadium.
Yeah, and then moving a little bit further east of Old City and downtown, Austin Homes, the same site there, building new, renovated Austin Homes. Ryan and I actually had the opportunity to go to the old Austin Homes before they were demolished. I think that was 2018, I believe.
The first phase is scheduled to wrap up in January 2022 with 105 units. The second phase is already underway, will include an additional 180 units. And the third phase is still to be determined, but could see an additional 153. So if you do all that up, beep, boop, beep, do the math, 438 units is what they're looking at. And it's all expected to be finished by the end of 2023. And that's just exciting because
Look beautiful.
Well, I was going to say, you go to the old ones and what they look like.
Awesome,
they were,
yeah,
they were brick. They were old looking because they were old. That's why they looked old, because they were.
I think they were built in like the,
yeah, and they have 23 acres to build on. And so I met with Ben Bentley from KCDC, Knoxville's Community Development Corporation, which handles public housing as well as other types of community development. But he was telling me, you know, and this is a quote from him, "I think it's really important that folks have a certain level of dignity and pride in where they live. And I don't think it matters who people are. They should have that." And that's really the driving force behind this, making sure that these units are modern, that they have the amenities that people deserve. I mean, if you look at some of the stuff that they're planning, it's going to be a workout facility, bicycle storage, greenway connections, a large open space that was still being designed at the time that I wrote this story. But that would be a big upgrade from what they used to have, which is just a little grassy field before. Utility improvements, the whole works. And so, Austin Homes, a huge residential project beyond the outskirts of downtown, but very close to downtown and part of the, I guess, the urban Knoxville landscape. And then we don't really have a place. We don't have a whole hotel section. We did talk about Supreme Court, though, and how there's going to be a hotel there. So we might as well talk about Hotel Clio on Gay Street, which is going to be at the former, it's in the Hope Brothers building where
Sapphire used to be.
Exactly, where Sapphire used to be. And again, just more people downtown. That's more people to support downtown businesses. And we've talked about Gay Street before, how there's some missing teeth, but Gay Street's relatively filled in. This is going to be a big step in getting Gay Street all the way filled in, with a few more exceptions that you can anticipate coming in the next few years as downtown continues to grow. But it'll be a boutique hotel. The Hope Brothers building constructed in 1898, so it's old. You know, do your math there. It's pretty old. And he wants to keep a lot of that old kind of
jewelry store vibe.
Yeah. I mean, it was best known for being a jewelry store. 1908, Hope Brothers Jewelers moved in there, and many of the historic elements are going to remain, Patel told me. They acquired the property, I guess, for $4.2 million in May, putting another $9 million worth of development into the project. Again, like the Supreme Court site, you know, if you live in Knoxville, although I did stay in a hotel. I finally, by the way, I should mention that my New Year's resolution I mentioned on the podcast was to have a staycation. I finally did that at the Oliver over the weekend. But
yeah, man, you're putting me to shame. I haven't done one thing on mine.
Well, I haven't really quite got started on the other ones yet. those are going to be a little more tough. But, you know, so if you're in Knoxville, why do you have any reason to stay in a hotel? Well, like the Supreme Court site, maybe you can go up to the bar. And like this site here in the Hope Brothers building, you have Lilu. So it's still going to be a public amenity for people in downtown to check out the food and drink concept there.
Yeah. And speaking of Lilu, we have a whole section coming up here of food and drink. So we're saving the best for last. But first, let's get you caught up on the latest downtown Knoxville headlines. And after that, we're going to talk about the goodies.
Stick with us. Want to keep up with all the news happening in and around downtown Knoxville? Join the Urban Knoxville Facebook group and become part of the downtown discussion. Knox News has been rolling out stories on the latest 40 Under 40 class. Visit knoxnews.com now to read how these professionals, whose jobs span from opera to international security, are making a difference in their community and beyond. Your Tennessee Smokies apparel will soon become retro gear. I spoke with Randy Boyd, who shared the team name will change to the Knoxville Smokies once they begin playing downtown, slated for spring 2024. Read all about the reason behind the switch at knoxnews.com. Looking for tasty food that just happens to be healthy? That's what Jenna Baker of Cook to Be Well hopes to provide with her new plant-based restaurant coming to the Old City. Visit KnoxNews.com to see when the restaurant, named Vittle, will be open and what you can expect both on and off the menu. Plus, a second selfie lab is open, this time on Sevier Avenue near Highwire Brewing. Step in front of the Vols, Candyland, or backdrop of your choice for a special photo at Knox Selfie Lab, and visit KnoxNews.com to learn more about how it works. Now, back to the show. I know one that you're excited about.
Yes, please.
The Indian concept on, I guess, the 100 block of Gay Street.
Yeah, Aroma Express, just a fast casual version of Aroma Indian Kitchen in the Cedar Bluff area. And I'm looking forward to this one a lot because this is one palate, you know, when diet that we don't have downtown.
Right, yeah. It's funny, you know, we had that podcast episode about hot takes about downtown. And one thing that I said was a hot take is that downtown could perhaps benefit from one or two chains, like maybe a Chipotle, something more fast casual downtown.
Yeah. One that we mentioned that, you know, call us ridiculous, but Waffle House downtown, would do awesome.
Yeah, but going back to the Chipotle thing, I got a couple people said no. They reached out to me and said, no, Ryan, you're wrong. We don't need chains downtown. But
well, we already have enough food that's like Chipotle downtown.
That is true. Yeah, I was just using Chipotle as an example, but something that could, you know, put out high quality of food at a fast rate.
Aroma Express.
Aroma Express, and we're going to have maybe a local version that's going to be kind of like Chipotle in a way where you're going to be able to make your food kind of like, you know, you go through the toppings, you pick your proteins and all that stuff and go through, and it's going to be a fast casual experience.
Plans for
an Airbnb up there as well on top of it. It's going to be that building right when you're coming into the 100 block on Gay Street there on the corner. If you're coming from 400, 300, 200 side, I guess if you're coming north, it'll be there on your left.
Yeah, and then attached to the same building, also part of the whole business is going to be a small like convenience store kind of thing, which is also missing on Gay Street. Like, how do we not have a convenience store except for like the pharmacy?
Right. And we
do have the market, but yeah, but I feel like
one more would be good.
Yeah, one more would be good. Yeah.
Another thing that came up, we talked about another episode, restaurants that are missing from downtown. You mentioned gluten free. I don't know if we talked about vegan or vegetarian. Maybe we did, but thinking about people with not necessarily this in this restaurant that I'm about to talk about, it's not based on dietary restrictions or, you know, your own fad diets or whatever. It's not about diet culture, but it's about plant-based, healthy, nutritional food. Not vegan or vegetarian. She hesitated to use that word. Jenna Baker, the owner there, she said plant-based, and it's all about promoting good health. Maybe you're familiar with Cook to Be Well, which is a business she started in 2018 over there, just north of downtown at the Glowing Body Yoga Studio. It's over there.
Yeah.
What is that? Near this food truck park, Central Filling Station.
Yeah,
right
I
in
think
your neck
that's,
of the woods.
That's, what is that? Irwin?
Irwin.
I think?
Irwin.
Yeah.
Irwin. And so she's been working out of there since 2018 with like a 200 square foot space.
I had no idea she was over there.
Yeah. And so she started out with grab and go meals, and then she started these Be Well boxes, which are just basically you pay and you get a box of ingredients that can make between 10 and 20 meals, I think.
Oh, wow.
And so that became incredibly popular during the pandemic, she said, because, you know, she had already started doing this and then everybody was trying to do what she was doing and she already had a head start. But now she is planning to open, it's going to be called Vittle, V-I-D-L, and it is going to be in addition to having the grab and go, which is going to return, and in addition to being able to pick up your Be Well boxes there, she's going to have a fast casual restaurant at the former home of Blue and Botanicals there on Jackson in the Old City.
Oh, awesome.
I got a chance to go over there. It's a unique space because Blue and Botanicals, they were growing hemp in like these hydroponic like chambers in this little room there.
Yeah.
She's going to keep that room, actually replace that with some plant beds. So you're going to actually be able to see some of the plants that she's growing in there. Some of those plants will be used for juices. But then she's going to have a full menu, sit down, salads, sandwiches, stuff that's not going to have any meat in it. That's just going to promote good health from local and regional growers, as well as an additional classroom space kind of towards the back where you can have yoga, you can have body positivity classes, you can have whatever, hoping to partner with some local groups on that. And so that's something to be excited about, whether or not you're a vegetarian, vegan, if you don't care about what you eat, whatever. You know, she said that the focus is going to be on having delicious food first, and then it happens to be healthy. So if you like good food, you're looking to go out to eat down in the old city. At some point, she's hoping in the spring she'll be able to have the restaurant open, hoping by the end of the month, actually, to be able to do the Be Well boxes out of there. And so, yeah, the old city, man, it's growing. And like I said, there's going to be even more growth. It's not just going to be, you know, old city as we know it, and then the baseball stadium, and then a bunch of growth. There's some stuff happening in between, and this is one example of that.
Yeah, one thing that's coming in my neck of the woods as well is Yeehaw.
Yeehaw!
Yeehaw. Welcome to Knoxville. They're based out, or originally were based out of, what, Johnson City, Tri-Cities area, but they're moving their headquarters to Knoxville, right next to Elk, or the former Elkmont, which is going to be their, I guess, flagship location here in Knoxville.
Yeah, you said next to. It's going to be in the former Elkmont.
Okay, so what are they building exactly next door to it?
So that's going to be like an outdoor experience.
Okay, I thought that was actual building.
Okay, no. So they're a little. Okay. They've been a little tight lipped on what it is, but I've been promised it's going to be the coolest place.
I've just been hearing rumors here about what's going on.
Okay, yeah. See, I got the scoop, baby. Okay. You got to read my stories, man.
I did, but you know, you left a lot to the imagination. You didn't know either.
Well, yeah. Charles Ellis over there. He's the GM. He's also the GM over at Central Filling Station. He's leaving a lot to the imagination too. He wants it to be, you know, a surprise once it's all wrapped up. But he did fill me in on a lot. I mean, they've been brewing in there for a while. They are going to have a full restaurant menu. He said, don't call it bar food. It's going to be food. It's going to be, you know, which Elkmont had too, but they're planning to take it to the next level. And
the next level? Elkmont was already pretty good.
Next level? Next level brewing? That's a different brewery.
That's on the corner there.
Yeah. But yeah, and they're actually keeping two brewers on from Elkmont. They've been continuing over there, working with Yeehaw now. And yeah, they're going to have outdoor space. They're going to have brewing in-house. You're going to be able to see the brewing happening. Still going to have, the way it was described to me, different kind of areas for whatever your vibe is. If you're looking to watch TV, there's going to be a loud area with TVs going. You watch some Vols games. If you're looking to just have quiet conversation, there's going to be an area for that. If you're looking for a private space, there'll be an area for that too. And if you're looking to go outside with your pet, there's going to be apparently the coolest place, as was described to me, in East Tennessee to go outside and have a beer, is what they're building over there. That construction that you've seen out there in the parking lot. So
the pet playground.
The pet, whatever you want to call it. Sure, the pet playground. So yeah, reason to get excited. If you're more into the brews of the other variety, the coffee brews, there's a reason to get excited as well. If you've ever been to Nashville, and you've ever looked up coffee near me, best coffee shop in Nashville, best, yeah, the Frothy Monkey's going to come up. It's kind of been a Nashville signature coffee destination for a while now. They have a location in Chattanooga, and soon a location in Knoxville, expected to open in 2022 at the Crest Building, which, if you're not familiar with that, if you ever
basically walk, right across the street from the downtown Grill and Brewery,
right, and next door to, well, in, it's the same building that Fat Tuesday is in, and it's also the same building that you saw for a long time that something wild was coming in the windows. I guess it was going to be a Wild Wing Cafe for, well, that was the plan at least for
it's
a little.
Still
bit.
Coming, I'm convinced.
But yeah, it's going to be Frothy Monkey all day brunch. Not quite to the Waffle House level that Calvin and I were talking about, like a 24-hour diner. It's not going to be like that. But as long as their doors are open, you'll be able to have brunch, which I'm a fan. If I can knock out two meals in one, I'm happy. breakfast and lunch together. In addition to coffee, you know, and just if you've been to their other locations, it's a pretty cool hangout spot as well, at least looking at their other ones. And I imagine they have big plans for how they're going to design that space inside. So, yeah, a lot to eat, a lot to drink in 2022. I'm excited about Vittle because one of my New Year's resolutions is to eat better, and it sounds like that's going to be an option for me. Also trying to lay off the beer, so I might have to make an exception for Yeehaw. We'll see. That about does it for today. Thanks for sticking with us, not just for this episode, but for all the episodes. If you didn't realize, and we didn't realize till we sat down, this is episode 100. It's crazy to think about that we've been talking about everything happening in and around downtown Knoxville for 100 episodes. But the reason why we've been able to do it is because so much is happening in and around downtown Knoxville. It's an exciting time. And that's my thanks. Thanks to everyone that's been supporting the show. And if you would like to continue supporting the show, well, the best way to do that is to first click like or subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on. That'll give you an update every time a new episode drops. But also, Knox News is what really supports the podcast, allows us to come in here every week and do the show. And a subscription to Knox News, therefore, would help us as well. And we appreciate the support, as we just mentioned. So KnoxNews.com/subscribe is going to be the place where you can go and see our latest offers, sign up to support local journalism, and get access to everything we've talked about here on the show and a whole lot more. And in the meantime, give us a follow. The best way to do that, to keep up with the stuff that I'm working on, is going to be on Instagram at Knox Scruff.
Or you can follow Knox News on Instagram. It is at Knoxville Photo.
And the Urban Knoxville Facebook group, it's worth pitching again. That is a place where you're going to be able to not just read about what's going on downtown, but get the conversation going, become part of the downtown discussion. Post your thoughts, questions, concerns in there, things you have going on. And we'll be in there in the group as well, sharing the podcast and sharing what we're working on. And until next week, happy 2022. Stay scruffy.